321. Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, April the 23rd, 114th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the swamp manager for the California Highway Patrol, Adam Yeager.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I probably ought to get you like a bronze-dipped mosquito or something.
There you go.
Yeah,
I like
a little something for the desk. Or maybe it could be a necklace you go down to reggae with it and attract all the
No
all
more
the good
reggae.
People.
No more reggae.
You don't even do sympathetic assist?
I don't. That's all Brett. All Brett.
All Brett all the time. Good. Well, we got a bunch of different things to talk about this afternoon. Adam is on the Measure Z committee, so we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that. Also, were you the junior assist?
Junior assist.
Is that what you were to the chief?
He bought me coffee. I was a junior assist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. Better than buying you like a shovel.
Right.
Or something like that with some of the activities that were going on last week in Eureka. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that. And whatever else may pop into our feeble minds when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. But before we do, you've gone to parties where they have all the hors d'oeuvres all lined up properly?
Absolutely.
Okay, before you or I went by and then it kind of looked like a bomb? Okay. From Julia Child, quote, "It's so beautifully arranged on the plate, you know someone's fingers have been all over it." Ain't that the truth, huh? Yes, fingerprints sir. All over. So what's been your impression, Adam, about the Measure Z process? Is it working the way that you were thinking that it might?
Yeah, I think it has. It was a little bit daunting at first with just trying to figure out what our rules and how we were going, and a lot of input and a lot of opinions, and which was really good. And now we're doing the public input, which we did the week prior, and then again tonight, which let the public come forward. I was kind of disappointed we didn't have that many people that came forward last week, but I think we had some good ones that did come and make their pitch, and it's good. And after these are over, we'll get together and try to sort through them and present something to the supervisors.
Have you pretty much already stratified in your mind which ones are keepers and which ones are throwers, and you're just kind of working the middle ground?
I have, and I just based on what the voters want, and you know, when someone calls 911, what do they want? They want law enforcement, or they want emergency medical to get their fire. If they're injured, they're gonna want an ambulance, right? And if there's an arrest, then they want that person to go to jail, stay in jail, and they want them prosecuted. We're dealing with somebody with mental health issues, or we're dealing with children that need to be taken care of. Those are all, to me, those are important. Those are what's important up top.
Pretty simple, pretty easy.
I think so.
Were the proposals and the presentations made? Now, let me step back. Are you limited to the proposals that were made and presented to the group?
We put out some guidelines that we had a deadline of, I believe it was March 20th, for proposals to come in. We weren't taking any presentations unless they wanted to come to the public hearing and talk, but it wasn't a question and answer type. They were going to make their 3-minute pitch. So we just felt that that was the easiest way to go.
So you're not at liberty to come up with your own idea and throw that out?
No, but we do.
Unless it was through the written process and everybody got it.
Yes.
Okay. So if somebody has an idea that's almost there, but not quite, do you have the chance, or does the committee have the opportunity to work it, to meld it, to say, okay, if it was this, you got support? And can somebody who's 95% of the way there but just needs a little bit more?
Well, I think that the presentation or the applications that are in spell it out pretty well. And I don't think it's our, as a committee, it's our role to make the sheriff tweak his, what he wants or what the DA wants. It's, they are going to get the money that supervisors give them that, you know.
So if they can't play by, if somebody can't play by the rules, next time.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Yeah. Were there some that were really head scratchers for you? You're wondering why did this person think that this concept?
I think the theme that voters were voting on, they all have good merit, but yeah, there were some that you're like,
didn't take long.
But yeah, and we broke them down into needs and nice to have and must have, and that was a pretty easy process. It wasn't a lot of talking and arguments or discussion, not arguments.
Kind of like what many of us would like to see the budget process go through. Here's what you need, here's what you'd like, and here's your wish list for the future.
Yeah, and here's what you gotta have.
Yeah.
Or the need. But
yeah, just boil it down that way.
But I,
that's kind of refreshing.
You know, when I got on this board, I mean, my reasoning on here was, you know, back in the 90s, we had the outpost, the sheriff's office was covered in Hoopaw and was covered in Garverville, and we had resident deputies in Bridgeville and Shelter Cove and Oreck and in the outlying areas, and all of a sudden we've just kind of forgot about that, and it's the norm is they're responding from Eureka, and it's not good because we're having to respond and not do our job because we're helping out.
That's why I was wondering the impact that you guys have when the resident deputies were out and the offices were out in the hinterland, so to speak. Did that just increase law enforcement presence, or did it change the dynamic so your guys were basically just cruising the highway instead of having to be backup or providing maybe even response?
Yeah, we could go out and do what we need to do and do proactive enforcement and make sure that people are behaving themselves on the road and
not having to dodge bullets, so to speak. Yeah, don't want to scare you too much, man.
No.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam, it is intriguing, must have been kind of cool, when you have all these community members, entities, representative groups, coming forward with wonderful ideas, fun ideas, to help you guys either do your job better or not have to do your job as much. Right, I mean the preventative side rather than the reactive side,
right.
Was, and I don't know. Can you speak to any of the proposals specifically, or is that out of bounds?
I think it'd be out of bounds. I'm not gonna. I said they all have their merit.
I was just seeing what was the coolest. Wow, if there was one that was presented to the group that really kind of either got you thinking a little bit or might be a great solution to a problem, but instead of dealing with it from one direction, you're coming in from the side door.
I don't think I saw anything like that. I just saw that we can have an opportunity to get things back the way they should be within law enforcement and fire and emergency services. And
do we know what they should be?
Well, I do because I've seen them the way they're supposed to be. So the one thing I was passionate about and was the ambulance service up in Willow Creek and Hoopaw. And So there was a little bit of conversation that in the beginning, thinking that it was a private entity for profit, and it's not. And we, you know, if we didn't have an ambulance service on 299, we have tourists coming through that crash, or anybody that's traveling to Willow Creek or Redding or whatever back and forth. Without that ambulance service, it's very important.
Just swimming on the river. I mean, how many times has there been medical aid?
Calls? And the ambulance services up there are different. The paramedics and the drivers, they're having to go over the side and do a lot of rescues and.
Mountain climbing is not often perceived as a critical requirement for an EMT too.
No, but I mean the volunteer firemen are trained and they do that, and Cal Fire and we're trained in that. No, it's just an important service that I was pretty passionate about. I think it was we're evenly split, but I think after the last public hearing, they came and did a presentation which was very well done. So I think we're going to be, there's a piece of a pie there, I believe.
Yeah. And I don't see that as almost being a contentious point. Now, maybe if there's not enough money. But that's the other thing that I keep hearing. When the lottery came in, they said it was going to be X amount of dollars. When they started sin taxing cigarettes, it was going to be X number of dollars. And nobody allowed for behavior modification. True. All of a sudden you can't afford that pack of cigarettes if you're so inclined, or the bottle of beer or whatever it might happen to be. So I'm kind of, I don't know if I learned a lesson, or at least I'm a little hesitant now. When you whip on additional sales tax, okay, that could be the tipping point for some folks. So the projections for me are always kind of...
That was hard for
there's
me
There's an asterisk
after. Yeah, I agree. That was hard for me to digest.
But now they're saying it could be as many as $2 million more than what their initial projections were.
Right.
But boy, that kind of at least gives you a chance to play with some of these things that might be not what everybody was thinking, like the ambulance.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, and that's what we talked about here, is doing a mid-year adjustment. But right now we need to work under the parameters of the $8.5 million, but really should it be $8 million? Like I said, I had a hard time digesting. How do they figure that out? And I know I blew it. I went out and bought a riding lawnmower on April 1st, so that was... Should have waited, or should have bought it before, but I did my part quickly.
I see. Is this now the Adamobile, or is it?
I did my part.
Well, that's the other thing. The first fiscal year, you're only going to have one quarter. April through June. Does this thing fund quarterly, or do you have to wait till the end of the year before the monies are there? So everybody's kind of positioning for what will be. Down the road, I mean, where the cash flow component of this?
That's a good question. I probably should know that, but
if you're not having to sign the checks, it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll probably have to pull my binder out. I'll have to pull my binder out and read that again.
Yeah, because you know, you can see everybody getting really excited and going crazy.
Well, the one thing that I see too is that, you know, for the sheriff's office and the DA's office and wanting to get positions, are they going to be able to hire them? You know, they're having a hard time hiring funded positions now. I know probation was too. So we got to get that recruitment going and get the backgrounds done and get people out. Boots on the ground is what I hear, and we need to have that.
Tough quick. To get people who are qualified, tough to get people to apply, or tough to get people through the whole process?
All of the above.
So it really is more of a systemic or a cultural approach rather than any one thing or another.
But good opportunity for a college student or a CR student or someone coming out of high school that's going to junior college, not sure where they're going. Great opportunity. So now's the time for...
Go ahead, finish your pump.
No, I'm just saying, just to recruit.
And that'd be... And call Adam
I'm not saying for CHP. I'm talking about the sheriff's office. Stay local. So,
well, I understand you can stay local if you're CHP too.
You can
for more than just a year or two. I've heard that as
times
a
have changed for that. Yes, they have.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam, the concept of working hand-in-hand, coordinated, in partnership with other law enforcement entities, it must be novel, because everybody takes such weird pride in the fact that it happens around here. I can remember when Shipley was running EPD and Roberts was running the CHP, and, you know, there was competitive esprit de corps, and they had fun going back and forth and always kind of poking each other. But that was kind of what I saw as normal. Apparently, it's not necessarily normal. So when you get the opportunity to work with EPD or they're asking for some assistance, it just kind of seems, well, of course. Is that rare in the state to have that kind of working relationship?
I think in communities such as ours, it's not rare. This is what happens. But when you get, you know, we're such a big organization and we're in the city, in the cities, it doesn't always happen that way because they have plenty of people. We have our people and we do our jobs and we might back up on traffic stops and things like that. But in the metropolitan areas, we're not called up by, you know, the chief saying, hey, we're going to do this. Can we have four or five positions to come help?
And that's pretty routine.
And pretty routine around here with us, yeah.
Somehow I like our model better. I mean,
that's
the understaffed part, but it just seems to make more sense to have everybody kind of coming to the same playbook in the same time, pushing the same direction.
Yeah, I agree.
So you got that opportunity last week to play in the woods a little bit, huh? Kind of like the old days.
Got a cup of coffee out of it. Man, Chief Mills got me a nice big cup of coffee and actually got one of me mid-morning, too, so I got two out of it.
Really? I suppose at this point I should ask about breakfast.
I didn't get breakfast. They had lots of snacks.
Not even the pink boxes? You said snacks.
No, there were snacks.
There could have been some of those things in the snack box. Okay.
It was cold, so I had made a request for biscuits and gravy, but that wasn't there. So
you're close, but not that close. Yeah. So what was your impression with the sweep that was conducted? Confirmation? Surprise? What kind of words leaped to your mind?
I think it was effective. And I think that they're definitely on the right track, and hopefully they can. I know that they posted notices that they had 2 weeks, and they're going to try to come up with something to clean that out. It is disgusting, the living conditions down there, and for someone like me that grew up and picked berries and went to the, as a kid, you know, traveled through those woods and through the mill sites and to see what's happening down there, and it's concerning, and hopefully something can be come about it. But I think it was effective, and it was good.
The two-week notice, is that just letting folks know that something's going to be happening in the next 2 weeks, or is that we're coming back one more time at least?
At least. No, I think what the message is that they are working on other alternatives for them, and they need to clean that out, and they're trespassing, and it's not.
Who owns the property?
I believe that's City of Eureka all through there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's City of Eureka. So there is a local landlord. That's what I was getting to. Not another one of these out of area.
Right. No.
Folks.
No.
Does the CHP typically get involved with things like drug sweeps and things of that nature? Other than you pull somebody over and they got some stuff in the back?
Yeah, I mean, we're members of the drug task force, and then when they need help, we try to offer up extra people, and if there's extra things going on, we usually try to help out when we can.
There was another story last week that was, for me at least, as stunning as finding all the weapons and the automatic and a felon in there, you know, all that kind of stuff. 5 or 6 folks, 3 or 4 different houses in Eureka, and I don't know if you guys were back up on this, 247 pounds of marijuana, and then various and sundry others that didn't tip the scale as high. At 247 pounds. Didn't even cause a ripple locally. Nobody mentioned anything about it. Now, I know in other jurisdictions in the country, 2 pounds.
Right.
And it's, oh my God, the culture didn't ripple here. Is 247 pounds a big deal?
That's a big deal.
Okay. I did the simple math on $3,000 a pop.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that high.
Okay, even two. Yeah. You'd still go with $500,000 plus the cash, plus the other stuff. No wonder.
Yeah, it's shows you that it has completely got out of control and hiding under 215 and growing for profit, and it's just completely out of control. And it's a shame because what it's doing to our water, number one, right now, and the poison and everything else, and clear cutting and the culture. And
yeah, I know. You got to go the environmental route.
I agree, but...
I mean, you know, like you were saying, you know, guts out what used to be our hometown.
Yeah.
And it's a different... Yeah. Different. Getting back to Z for a sec, was there any discussion about that part of the use of the monies to go towards either, what was it, substance abuse programs, things like that? Yeah, like the old family recovery services right. that St. Joe's used to do.
There are Blue Heron
or Crossroads.
Yeah, there are some applications things. For that that are...
Still in the mix?
Yeah, still in the mix.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if there is a solution, but when you have things like you experienced and like we all hear about all the time or we see in our neighborhoods now and certainly the downtowns of any of the, well, maybe not Ferndale, but most of the other communities in the area, you just kind of go, what in the world is going on? So, and I don't know, is police presence that much of a deterrent for those folks? Do you think with the efforts that's going on, with the push out that the city of Eureka is doing right now, stirring it up, do you see that we're just going to have things resettle in different places, or do you think that there's going to be a long-term gain for the entire county on this?
I think there's going to be a long-term gain. I think that's... there's a plan, and I think that Chief Mills has a good plan, and he's collaborating with Sheriff Downey, and I think I think we're going in the right direction, like we've said, you know.
Are we going fast enough?
Not for me, but I mean, I think we're going as fast as we can go right now.
As fast as we can handle the process?
Yeah. Sometimes frustrating.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many you talk to down there that are from, you know, South Dakota, Salem, Oregon, all over Las Vegas, and they're here to try to get trimming jobs, you know. And
Is that the common thing?
Yeah, that was the common thing.
I was told last week by one of the county supervisors that marijuana is now a racial and an ethnic term. Cannabis. That's the generic, that's the PC word now. We can't say marijuana. So you're saying it's involving the marijuana industry?
Yeah. I mean, they're coming here to try to get trimming
jobs. So why do they stay?
Well, they get here, and then they get assistance, and they're getting their checks, and then they get stuck.
You're not living.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think, well, go find another community that has this stuff that you might be able to get a job at. Last question, we can move on. When you were talking to them and they said the marijuana industry, did they think there was going to be a job here? Were they promised a job? Or did they just come here with the expectation of getting a job? Because what I've heard is if you're not known, they're not going to hire some guy out of Timbuktu. They don't know. You know, you're going to rip them off? You're going to hold them up? Are you a DEA guy? I mean, an unknown quantity does not get hired in that industry.
Yeah, I think it's just probably an expectation. They think they're going to get employed when they show up, and especially if they have a car. And, you know, one of them had a car, and he was proud of it, that, hey, I can get a job. I can go trim for $200 a pound, and I have a car. I can go places. So,
and he decided to stay behind Bayshore Mall in the woods.
Yes.
With his car.
Yeah.
I guess, was it something falls before pride? KINS News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Adam Yeager.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Oh, I suppose at this point now, we're almost all the way through the show, and I haven't reminded folks that starting on May the 4th, Monday, we're going to take this show on the road. Well, actually, we're going to go back home.
Coffee shop. Coffee Talk Shop.
Fine. Okay. Another. And it's probably roasted in Humboldt, huh? Yeah. Heading back to the mornings, starting on the 4th.
Donuts when Andy and Mike Downey and myself show up.
You know, I think I'll go and get donuts once a month, and they'll just be here. And whoever comes in first gets the freshest.
As long as there's no mold on them.
Whoever comes in the latest gets a spare tire. Your guys call. Are you seeing any trends? Are we driving as safely as we should be? Are people paying attention? Are the kids not texting so much? I mean, everything I see is don't text and this.
Yeah. I was coming up from the Bay Area the other day and saw a guy pass me. I was in my own personal car with my family, but he was doing 85 and had his right hand on his phone and was one hand on the steering wheel and was staring at his phone, cruising up 101.
85.
Yeah, 85. Looking at his phone, and it's still going on.
Did you network at that moment?
Did I network?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I was out of area, and but
85, holy toy.
Yeah, just cruising along. No, I mean, I think, you know, coming in the summertime, I just remind everybody to behave, and as it gets warmer, and
it's going to be tough then to text on one hand, have a bottle of beer as cold in the other hand, and still drive.
Right. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
That would be a little bit of a challenge, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, yeah. Summer is coming, so hopefully folks will slow down, and we won't have as many written assignments from Matt.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
PIOs,
that'd be nice. We are going to be putting more units out on Highway 36 with the grant we got from HCOG, and so we'll be out there on that in 96, and we'll be trying to. And we got some extra officers coming in here in May, so we're trying to get some more staffing out there so we can slow people down and make them do what they're supposed to be doing.
Oh, so when you all chant "Game on" at the beginning of the day. That's to help us all.
There you go.
All righty.
Yep.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love. See you tomorrow.